Okay, let's open our Bible today to Lamentations. Lamentations is a book written by Jeremiah. It comes after the book of Jeremiah, before the book of Ezekiel. It's in the Old Testament. Just about halfway through. There you go, that makes it easy. If you open your Bible, just do that. It falls open almost right at Lamentations. Okay. I want to read from verse 19. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. I want us to focus on verse 22 today. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his passions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, Jeremiah wrote that as the city he lived in, Jerusalem, was about to be invaded by the most awful army in history, the Babylonians, who were destroying everything in their midst. And God promises, you know, God promises, this is a truth, that as a Christian, you'll be tried and tested. That's the truth. Every Christian, as Jeremiah was, you'll be tried and tested. The enemy will come in as a flood. But a greater truth is God's grace is equal to every test and trial, and his grace is able to make you overcome every test. Every test. And to overcome, we need to have knowledge of God, because Hosea says the reason the people perish is their lack of knowledge of God. And to know God, we need to know what he's like. And to know what God's like, we must know his greatest, his number one attribute in all of the scriptures, the number one attribute to describe God, the word that's used more often than not, is mercy. That God is a God of mercy. We're told in Exodus, Numbers, that God is abundant in mercy. Moses wrote that in his relationship with God. He said his mercy endures forever. And Paul wrote in many places, it was, I am what I am by the grace of God. He was a failure. He was someone who persecuted the church. He went on to become an apostle, more fruitful than any of the disciples. He went on to become a great servant of God, more fruitful, and more fruit than any of them. And he says, I am what I am because of the mercy of God. 1 Timothy, he says, I am what I am because I obtained mercy. And Jeremiah writes this when everything else, basically he's writing where the enemy is at the gate, where everything else is about to be consumed, Jeremiah says, I'm confident that I will not be destroyed because, why? Because God's mercy, he has obtained God's mercy. And so we need to understand what God's mercy is. And if we look at verse 22, it says, though his mercies are not consumed, through his mercies we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. God's mercy begins and is rooted first in his compassion for us. And when we think of our relationship with God, we look at the Hebrews and we see what we are, what we've become. The Hebrews were someone who had come into a covenant relationship with God. God had picked them, if you like, and married them. He chose them, not because they were worthy, but he chose them to be objects of his love. And he was compassionate for them. And that love that he had for them, that tender love that he had for his people, was never removed. If you ever read the book of Hosea, the book of Hosea is a beautiful book. And the book is about a prophet called Hosea who's told to marry a prostitute. And he says, go and marry a prostitute because that's what Israel's like, my people. They're unfaithful, they've walked away. And then God says, now take the prostitute and bring her to your home. And the prostitute comes to, her name is Gomer, and she comes to the prophet Hosea's home and she lives with him for a while. And then she decides to go back to prostitution. And God says to Hosea, go and get her back. Not only go and get her back, you have to go and buy her back. So he goes and he buys his wife back. And she comes back and God says to Hosea, how do you feel? He says, I feel great now that she's back with me. He says, that's how I feel about my people. It's just an amazing book about God's faithfulness. And in that book he says, they've wandered away from me. They've chosen idols and every vile thing. Hosea chapter 11. But he says, how can I give them up? How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Zeboam and Admonah? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger, for I am God. So God, when he chooses us, he chooses us in love. And no matter if we're faithful or not to him, like Israel, like Gomer, God doesn't remove his love from us. That's what his mercy is granted. His love is never removed from us. That's why Paul writes in Romans, he wants us to understand this concept, this incredible concept. And he finishes Romans chapter 8 by saying, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God's mercy is it begins with an understanding that he has loved us. He has called us into a relationship like a man and a woman, a covenant relationship. But because God is love, his love is not conditional. His love, it endures forever. His love, whether you walk away from him, whether you are faithful to him, whether you obey him, whether you live right before him, he never, ever, 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 ever stops loving you. And there is nothing that can remove you from being an object of his love. So God's mercy starts with his compassion. And his compassion is founded in the fact that he loves us. And the second thing it says is that because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The second part of God's mercy is to do with his faithfulness. The word means chesed. And the history of the Bible is that everybody God chose, Adam, God chose him, put him in a garden, said, I'm going to bless the socks off you. Just obey me. He didn't. Abraham, God called him. So I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a blessing to the nations. He said, just obey me. He said, leave go to Israel. In chapter 12, verse 1. Abraham, and he said, take nobody with you. Abraham took his father. He said, get out of your family. He took his father. He took Lot. He took all Lot's household, all Lot's family. And instead of going to Canaan, he went to a place called Haran. He went halfway and he stayed there many years. Then later when he finally did, 3 or 4 years later, when he finally did get to Canaan, he didn't obey God. He went down to Egypt. He lived in Egypt. He lied about his wife. And then God said, I'll make your father many nations. After all, he didn't believe God. So he took a woman who became the first surrogate mother in history that I'm aware of. And he had a child with her. And he totally messed up. So he didn't obey God. Israel were told by God, I'm going to give you a land. I'm just going to give it to you. And they're the only nation I know that God gave them someone else's land. He says, here it is, it's yours. All you've got to do is live in it. I'm going to make it the land of milk and honey. I'm going to bless the socks off you. Just obey me. But they didn't. None of them did. None of them obeyed him. Over and over. You see the book of Judges. You see over and over this cycle. God says, I'll bless you. But over and over again, they don't obey him. And there's consequences of it. They end up, instead of being blessed, they become ruled by their enemies. The Midianites, the Gideonites, all the Midianites, all the ites in the Bible rule over God's people. And instead of being blessed, the enemy rules over them. But every single time, without fail, every single time, the people who have not obeyed God, every single time, without fail, that they confess and they turn back to God, every single time, God then destroyed their enemies and brought them back to the land. Every single time. Bar none, he brought it back. He is faithful. He does what he says. Why does he do that? Why does he take us back over and over and over again? This is what the mercy of God is. They knew every morning. We could fail, we could disobey, we could fall down a million times, but every single time we truly turn back in our heart back to God, God takes us back. Every time he takes us back and says, I'll now start to fight your enemies for you. And I'll now start to bring you into your destiny. That's the land. I'll now start to work for you again. Every single time he does that. Why does he take his people back, forgive his people, pick us back up, work with us every single time? The answer is actually found in Ezekiel. The answer is found in Ezekiel. He says, Ezekiel 36. Verse 20, when they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore say to the Lord, the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which had been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in the midst. And their nation shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. What's God saying? He's saying, he forgives. And he takes us back every time for his name's sake. He does it so that he will be known great in the nations by his forgiveness and by his faithfulness. He will be known great by his mercy. You know, no other religion has the concept of mercy. Other religions work on the concept of justice, where you get what you deserve. But mercy goes a step beyond that and gives to people what they don't deserve. And he says, that's how I make my name great. You know, he is faithful every morning to you. When we turn back, No matter what we've done, every morning, his mercies are new every morning. God's love is renewed to us every morning. That's what he wants to say. And his faithfulness to us is new every moment. It never ceases to work for us. What that means is what God has promised us to do, he will do, even though you've been a failure. So he'll take us back, even though you've failed, you've disobeyed. He'll not only take you back and forgive you, but he'll do what he said despite your failures. I want to show you how faithful God is. I want to show you how faithful God is. We live under this covenant. You can claim this promise for yourself. How great his mercy is. Jeremiah 31:31 is a beautiful promise of God. It's a new covenant. He says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the old covenant that made with the fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." This is the era that we live in. "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." This is God's faithfulness. I'll forgive their iniquity, and their sin I'll remember no more. I just told you about Abraham, didn't I? I just told you about his life. I just told you what God told him to do. God came to him, manifested and said, "Leave Ur, go to Canaan." He didn't leave Ur and go to Canaan. He said, "Take no one with you, just you and Sarah." He didn't leave everything. He didn't leave his family. He took half his family with him. He didn't go to Canaan. He went to Haran. He then didn't stay in Canaan. He went down to Egypt. In Egypt, he said, this is my sister, not my wife. He made a mess. For 18 years, he was still making a mess because after 18 years of walking with God, he had an Ishmael. But God said, "I will bless you and make you a father of many nations. I'll make your name great." God promised to make his name great. "I'll make you shine like the stars." I want to tell you how the book of Hebrews records the life of Abraham. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read from verses 8. By faith, you've got to see this. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out and go to the place where he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city whose foundations and whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Wait on. Didn't Sarah laugh when the angel of God came and said, "You'll conceive"? But Jeremiah said in the new covenant, "For I'll forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more." When God remembers Abraham, it's apart from his disobedience. When God thinks of Abraham and Sarah, he sees their faithfulness, not their disobedience. Why? Because God promised to not only forgive them, to forget their sin. What's my point? When we fail, and we come to God every morning, there's not only forgiveness, we are not only never apart from His love, but every failure He chooses to forget. And He says, I'm calling you. What I've called you to do, I'll perform it and I'll perfect it. And when you're remembered, when your book is written, when your name is written in the book of life, all your sin, all your failure is blotted out. So many people can't go on with God because they don't understand how deeply He feels about them, how compassionate. Like Hosea for Gomer. He is towards us. How He'll never, ever, 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 ever stop loving us, no matter how much we fail. And they don't understand that God's commitment to us, what He has promised us. He said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great father of many nations. You're going to dwell in the land. Hebrews 11 says that's what He did. And all his sins are remembered no more. This is all part of God's mercy. And what I've been speaking about, what Jeremiah wrote about, that attribute of God, that dealing of God with us, is new every morning. So if you failed today, you can come to God tonight. When we really turn back, truly turn back to Him. And He comes back. He comes back. And He says, okay, you've been living under the consequences. As soon as you turn back, God's love starts to, His love is never immune. But just like He did with Him, as soon as you turn back, He begins to destroy your enemies again. And to bring you back into the place of destiny and promise, as soon as you turn back to Him. He's not like a man. He's merciful, full of mercy. The failure that you've committed, God says, I remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. When we've truly turned back, God chooses to forget us. Forget our sin. Sometimes people come back to God and they're talking about their sin, their sin, their sin. They did. God says, I don't know what you're talking about. I removed that. I washed it from far. The east is from the west. And we keep bringing it up. How great is His mercy? How great is the mercy of God? The Bible says His mercy endures forever. Final part of God's mercy is not only is it bounded in His loving forgiveness and His faithfulness, it's to do with His favor. And what happened with you and I? You and I, like the people of this, when we were apart from Christ, we were people marching towards a certain judgment because God is opposed to sin. But when we accepted Christ and He forgave us, all God's promises became ours through inheritance. And so instead of being under His wrath, we are now objects of His blessing. We are now more than conquerors. We are now overcomers through Christ. We are now eternal. We have now received every spiritual blessing there is to receive through Jesus. And so what people have got to understand as part of mercy is not only, well, a lot of people think that mercy means that my judgment was stopped. But it's not only that your judgment was stopped. God not only stops the judgment, but when someone accepts Christ, he prevents the judgment, but at the same time, He extends His scepter of favor to us. Like Esther before Ahasuerus the king. Not only does He not judge it, but He extends the scepter of favor. It says, now you're mine. Now I'm for you. Now I'm behind you, not against you. Now my love will never be removed. Now I've made all these promises. I'll make them happen. Now no one can stop that. Not even your own sin. As no one could stop Abraham, not even his own sin. So God wants us to know. God wants us to know. There's a place we come every morning. Every morning in his presence. When we turn to him. Whatever we may have done the previous day. The character of God towards his people who are in Christ, as that his love is never removed. Nothing can remove us from his love. No failure, no attack of the devil, nothing in your generations. Nothing can remove us from living as an object of God's love. God cannot stop loving us because he is faithful. And even if we failed over and over and over and over and over again, and the enemy has been allowed to steal, kill, and destroy, we've had doors open to the enemy. As soon as we turn back to God, as soon as we turn back and say, I've been foolish, I've not walked with you, I've not honored you, but today I really repent. At that very moment, like Israel in the book of Judges, that very moment, God says, now you're back, I'll destroy your enemies. I'll begin to destroy what's destroying you. Now you're back, I will take you into the land of promise where all my promises to you will be fulfilled. As you walk with me, everything I've said to you, I will fulfill because of God's faithfulness. Now you're back. Instead of judgment, you have favor. This is what God's mercy means. And the Bible says they are new every single morning. Every single morning we awake, we come into that place of God. And when we turn to him, he extends the hand of favor to us. Who experiences that? Who experiences that real knowledge that even though it seems like there's powers raging around me, even though it seems like, as Jeremiah, the everything feels like there's pressure around me. But he says it doesn't matter because God's mercy is going to work for me. God will work for me. God will deal with problems that would crush me. God will actually be real to me because his love is upon me, because his favor is extended to me. He will stop what the enemy wants to do with me. He will fight my enemies for me. He will bring me through this even though it looks like it's impossible to get through it. Who will actually experience the blessing that comes from the mercy of God? It's what Jeremiah writes in verse 24. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. God is my portion. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I hope in him. What does that really mean? It means that God's mercy, experiencing his love, living in that place where you know what he's called you to do, he'll make it happen despite your failures. Knowing that no matter what you do, so you don't condemn yourself, God's love is never removed from you. He never stops working with you, for you. He'll never ever allow your enemies to be destroyed. He'll each morning he'll watch over you. He'll renew his power to your life. Every morning when you come to him and you turn to him. That's reserved for people. The Lord is my portion. He is my hope. That means it's reserved for the people who God is their plan A, B, and C for every issue of life. When something rises, the first thing you do is pray about it. The first place you run is not to the phone, it's not to family, it's not to other people, but the first place you run when you have a problem is to God. He is your portion. The first person you thank when things go well is God. He is your portion. The first person you seek every morning is God. He is your portion. The person you trust more than anyone else in life is God. And his power, because he is your portion. And it is him that I hope. That just means if that's how you live. You've never blown it. You've never failed too much for God. You've never done anything that disqualifies you. You've done nothing that could keep you out of your destiny. As soon as you turn back, every time, God begins to work for you and take you on. It's like Peter. Peter made a promise to Jesus and he said, Jesus, I'll never forsake you. As soon as the pressure came, he split. Failed him dreadfully. When Jesus most needed him, Peter wasn't there. Jesus had said to Peter, I'll make you a rock. I'll build the church upon you. Humanistically, Peter would have disqualified himself. But you know what? Jesus is not like that. As soon as Peter turned back, what did Jesus say? Feed my sheep. Never even mentioned the sin. Never even mentioned his sin. He just saw that he turned back and said, keep going. Keep going. You're coming into your destiny. So great is his mercy. So great is his compassion. Today, cities are named after Peter. Nobody remembers his failure. He's known as Peter the Great. Other kings are named, but Peter's the real great. Founder of the church. Why? Because of God's mercy. The Christian life's not complicated. God wants us to know that you cannot, if he's your everything, you cannot blow it with him. You cannot commit the uncommittable, forgivable sin if he's your portion. You cannot fail him to a degree where he stops loving you. You can fail him to the degree he stops blessing you. You can't fail him to the degree he stops loving you. And as soon as you turn back to him, he restores his blessing upon your life. He fights your enemies again. He starts to bring you back into that place where his promises manifest. I just feel this morning, I'm a bit tired because of Friday, but there are some people that you don't know how high. Romans 8 speaks about, like, you don't know how deep and how wide. You don't know the depths of God's love for you personally. And you don't know that love for you is unconditional. You don't know that there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing neither height nor depth, principalities or powers, which shall ever be able to separate you from the love of God because you chose Jesus. Some people would think that maybe you had a call of God on your life. Maybe there's things God wanted to do through you, but you've done things that so failed God that he's disqualified you and he's no longer working for you. That's a lie of the enemy. That's a lie that God wants to tend it. His mercy is, mercy is not to do with whether you deserve it or not. That's justice. His mercy extends to those who don't deserve it. His mercy is in care with his compassion, but also his faithfulness. Someone here today, they think that maybe they were called by God to do something. They were called into something by God, but they've blown it. God says, I'm still waiting. I'm still committed. I'm still determined to do that thing. I just want you to turn back. And trust in my love. It endures forever. His mercy is abundant. It's abundant. That sin you did, it's wiped away. It's washed, removed as far as from the east is from the west. God only sees who you are in Jesus, forgiven. Doesn't see that failure. Like he didn't see Abraham's failure. He only saw what he called him to be. Let's just close our eyes today to finish. Oh Lord, you are so good. Lord, you are so good. Lord, your mercy towards us, it endures forever and ever and ever. That mercy, Lord, is new every morning. Every morning it is new. And Father, where the enemy would come in and try to say that your love has been removed. Father, I tear down that lie off every person this morning in the name of Jesus. And I decree the truth that everybody in Christ Jesus is fully loved. Is completely loved. Is eternally loved. That your love, Lord, is never removed. Father, everyone here who you've called, Father, you've called them to be, you're committed to make them like Jesus. You've called them to serve you. Called them to walk with every single person who thinks today that, Lord, something has disqualified them from that call. Father, I tear down that lie in the name of Jesus and I speak over the mercy, your mercy. Your mercy. Everyone who, Lord, has been afflicted, who the enemy has been at work in their life, as they turn back to you today, Lord. Father, I rejoice. As soon as that happens, you will fight their enemies. You'll destroy enemies for your people. So committed are you. Father, show us. Reveal to us today. You are the God of Hosea. You're the God of Hosea. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You make our destiny happen. You make it happen so long as you are our portion. Father, we declare to you today, you are our portion. You are our portion. You are our hope. You are our refuge. You are our rock. You are our very great reward. You are our all in all. And as we wait for you, Lord, you never fail us. Your timing is perfect. so great is your mercy. It endures forever. Thank you, Lord, that your hand of favor is extended. Instead of judgment, you are for us. And you say, Lord, he who didn't withhold his own son, how will he now not give you every good thing? You're for us. Father, open our eyes to see what it means that you are for us, that we have your favor, that you are committed to opening doors that no man can open. You're committed to promoting us where no man can promote us. You are for us. We have your favor. Lord, it's all part of your mercy that is new every morning. Now, I want to bless you that you don't drill this like a man. You are God. You are God whose mercy endures forever. It is new every morning. We bless you in this place, Lord. I thank you that you are revealing at this moment the depths of your attributes, who you really are. Who you really are, the wonder of your grace. We bless you. We praise you for your commitment to your people, for your hesed faithfulness. We praise you in this house today. Lord says to somebody, he's going to make it happen. He's going to make it happen. Whatever it is you're trusting, he's going to make it happen. Nothing can stop him because he sees you. You seek him. You wait for him. You hope for him in the morning. He's going to make it happen. So to someone else, that enemy, that problem, he's going to destroy it. He's going to destroy it because you're his child. He loves you and he's promised to destroy it. He is faithful. Hallelujah. Let's stand up.